to be presenting you today is from our work on mining the data from the National Public Health Performance Standards Program. I guess I just wait, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What I'm going to present to you today is hopefully a tool that could be used for performance improvement based on some of our research from the National Public Health Performance Standards data. I would like to start by acknowledging those who helped with this work. Nikki Lawhorn, who is now with the Louisiana Public Health Institute, she was the primary author of this study. She did the analysis for this. Dr. Sketchfield and I served as co-principal investigators on the project, and others who worked on it are Martha Riddell, Madhu Bindu Kanagati, who was a graduate assistant at Eastern, and Richard Charnigo, who was the statistician. And I would also like to acknowledge that this research was funded and supported by the National Network of Public Health Institutes in cooperation with the Office of Chief of Public Health Practice at CDC. I do not have any financial relationships with commercial interests to disclose. Just to give you a little background, as many of you know, public health has been really struggling with efforts to translate performance measures into quality improvement and issues. So we really wanted to try to, we're exploring ways that you could use some of the data that's currently out there to engage in performance improvement initiatives. The field of public health systems and services research shares a goal with the National Public Health Performance Standards Program, and that is to increase the science base of public health that would result in the improvement of public health practice. And the goal of performance improvement research is to provide that scientific evidence that allows communities to develop more efficient and effective public health systems through targeted use of limited research. And so that's what the purpose of this project was, to attempt to build that scientific evidence so that we can have methods of doing quality improvement. So the objectives of the study were to define the characteristics of high-performing local public health systems. What is it that leads health departments to higher performance? And so we're still trying to explore that. And then to determine the relationship between local public health system performance and public health agency infrastructure, their agency structure, organization, finance, and management. For this study, our study population were 529 observations, local public health systems and jurisdictions within 30 states that completed version one of the National Public Health Performance Standards Program between the years of 2002 and 2007. In this data set, there were 78 systems that repeated the instrument, so we removed those from our analysis. We just wanted one observation from each jurisdiction. And then we removed an additional 98 systems because they could not be matched by jurisdiction type or had not completed one or more of the secondary data sets that I'm going to share with you in just a moment. Our final study sample was 353 systems representing 23 states. For our dependent variable, we had measures of system performance on the 10 essential services. So, and we took the measures of the essential public health services from version one of the NPHPSP local public health system assessment instrument. So this represents local public health systems. And if you're not familiar with the performance assessment instrument, it's divided by sections according to the essential public health services, and each EPS has a set of indicators that are scored. There's actually indicators, and there's sub questions and sub questions. They're all rolled up. You have indicator scores, and then they range anywhere from like 2 to 6 or 7 indicators for essential service, and so those scores are averaged into an essential public health service score. For this analysis, we had 11 dependent variables, one for each of the essential public health services and one for the average total performance. Our independent variables came from three different secondary data sets. We had the characteristics of the public health agency structure, finance, organization, and management came from the 2005 NACHO profile. Our indicators are measures of county-level information such as socioeconomic status, demographics, health resource characteristics were obtained from the 2005 area resource file. And measures of federal public health spending were obtained from the Consolidated Federal Funds Report for 2005, which is put together by the Census Bureau. Our measures that we use in our study for federal public health spending were measures that of any funds that went directly to local communities from CDC or HRSA. Our data sets, we linked all four data sets by jurisdiction to create one large data set. So therefore, we only included jurisdictions that had data from all of the sources. The linked data set had over 1,800 variables. Well, obviously, we're not going to analyze 1,800 variables. And so the way that we chose to reduce the number of variables was based on previous research. We had Dr. Scutchfield and I and some other colleagues and numerous colleagues had done studies looking at relationship between performance and infrastructure. So we used variables that had been included in previous analysis, plus some new variables that we didn't have access to data before. And so our final reduced data set had 82 variables from the 353 local jurisdictions. And so part of our analysis, we had to adjust some of the independent variables by converting continuous variables to dichotomous because of the type of analysis that we were doing. And we had to log transform some variables. And I'm not going to present to you any log transformed information, but what we've converted it back. But for variables such as expenditures or population, you know that with 353 systems, it varies and there are some extreme outliers. And so by transforming these variables, it accounts for the effect of the outliers. The method that we used was to compute regression trees to explore the relationship between public health system performance on the 10 essential services and the measures of community characteristics and agency infrastructure. We created essentially 11 regression trees, one for each of the 10 essential services and one for total performance. Due to time, I'm only going to present to you the results from two of the trees, and also because another reason is that some of the trees, some things are just not quite logical and changeable. So I tried to pick, and this is more about what I'm presenting to you is going to be more about the method. For the ones that we chose to present are essential service number 3 and essential service number 6. And essential service number 3 is to inform, educate, and empower people about health issues. And so let me explain first when you see this, like how in the world could I use this? Well, it's really essentially like a decision tree, if you will. And if I can use a pointer. So I don't know. Whoops. I guess I can't. Anyway, what you see here is at the top, you have the average performance from this data set on essential service number 3, and that was 67.3. So that's the average performance. And so the way that the results, as opposed to some of you may have been accustomed to seeing linear regression, and you're given like which variables are significant, all of those that appear on this tree are those variables that were considered to be significant predictors of performance on essential service number 3. However, this gets a little more specific, and so it basically the way it goes, if you, it kind of, pre- it, depending on where an agency may fall, would it predicts what their average performance might be given these conditions. So if I'm a health system that has less than 7.5% of my revenue from county sources, the predicted average performance on essential service number 3 would be 76.2 versus 63.5 for those that have a greater percentage of their revenue from county sources. The other variables that are up here are expenditures, per capita expenditures, so the number of local public health agency expenditures per 100,000 population. Again, it goes through and some of the same variables show up. And then it looks at what's the highest degree of the director of the local public health agency, and if it's centralized, if it's decentralized or not. Agencies that the blue highlighted box here is that's the these are all of these at the bottom are considered terminal nodes on this, but basically what that tells you is that this is the node that yields the highest performance. So this is the pathway that yields the highest performance. So if you have greater than 7.5% of county resources, and you have more than 35.5 expenditures, $35 per 100,000 population that you're in your expenditures, more than 12% from county resources, and then less than $38 per 100,000 population, that would yield your the highest possible performance. I'm going to give you an example later and show how we can go back through this. But some of the things that we just pulled from this in terms of what might be characteristics of high-performing health systems is that systems with a low percent of revenue from county sources, lower per capita expenditures, and systems with a board of health yield the highest possible performance. Systems with low per capita total local public health agency expenditures, agencies with a director with a master's degree as the highest degree, and those that are in a centralized or mixed relationship with the state yield poor performance. This is the tree, the regression tree for essential service number 6, and again, the all of these boxes represent the predictors for performance on essential service number 6. So you've got local public health agency expenditures, percent of revenue from county sources, if the local board of health has an advisory role or not. And then this one also includes the number of FTEs per capita. And then also a predictor of performance would be if the agency received additional FTEs from bioterrorism funding. So we're going to track through in my example what leads to the highest, the path that leads to the highest predicted performance in just a moment. So some conclusions that we drew from the regression tree on essential service number 6 is that those systems with higher agency total expenditures, a board of health that advises, they have fewer FTEs per capita and additional FTEs that came from bioterrorism funding, though the systems that have that combination would yield the highest possible performance. On the other hand, systems with lower total expenditures and a higher percent from county resources yielded poor performance on enforcing laws and regulations that protect and ensure safety. I do want to go back and point out that the R squares that you see there are the percent that the percent of the total performance that are predicted by the independent variables. So how could you use this tool? First of all, what you could do is you could take your actual, say your system completed the performance standards instrument. You compare your actual results versus what's predicted from this analysis. And so let's use an example of the Plain County Public Health Department that on essential service number 6 had a performance score of 56% and versus the predicted, which was 73%. And let's say that this health department has $5 million in total expenditures. They have a board of health that is advisory, and they have about 10 FTEs per 10,000 population, and they did not get any additional FTEs from bioterrorism funding. So what you see here is it's the same tree that was on the other slide, except for the blue highlighted boxes are the predicted path to the most optimal performance on this. And so you could first start to take a look at, where do I stand, and am I in the range of what's predicted? And then if I wanted to make changes, you could go back to the different pieces and see where improvements could be made. The red outline boxes are the actual performance. So for Plain County Health Department, they had 5 million in total expenditure, so that's more than 676,000. They had a local board of health with an advisory role. They had 10 FTEs per 100,000 population, so they would go on this side. So that's kind of where, according to this, their actual was 56%. This predicted 59, which was probably fairly in line. So if I'm in that agency or that system, perhaps I wanted to see, well, what could I change to maybe make some improvements? You might want to go back and, let's say you really want to get to this optimal, then you might want to take a look at your FTEs. It seemed that those that had additional FTEs from BT funding had higher improvement. What I will say about this is that obviously we just had, how many additional FTEs did you get from BT funding? We didn't really, there was no information on what did you do with those FTEs and how were they used. So that's one of my limitations that I'm going to discuss, is the quality of information. But anyway, you could work your way through this decision tree to see what types of improvements that you may or may not be able to make. So like regression trees can be useful tools in performance improvement, in benchmarking, or in setting performance goals. So you can, what we did was we looked at the actual versus the predicted, and so we saw that compared to similar agencies, the Plain County Health Department performance on EPHS is lacking and could possibly be improved. And so, as I stated, you can make improvements by based on the pathway suggested by the different branches or the nodes of the tree. Regression trees can be used also as complements to other methods such as linear regression in predicting performance, and that's exactly what we did. I don't have results from linear regression here, but we actually used three different methods. We used regression trees, we used linear regression, and also neural networks. And but we wanted to present this because we thought that trees are easier to interpret than regression, because it's kind of that decision tree, the decision analysis piece. But they are considered to have weaker predictability, and some of that's based on the way that you have to manipulate the data to do regression trees. But the thing that we found is that the R-squares in our analysis were not that much different than the R-squares in the linear regression. So although they may be low, they're comparable to those that were produced with our linear regression methods. Some of the limitations of the study were that several variables had to be transformed, and when you transform a continuous variable into a categorical, you lose information, and so we've lost some information there. And then we do have a need to improve the quality of some of the explanatory variables to provide more meaning. They have a local board of health. So what does that mean? What is it that the Board of Health is doing? What are they providing? We need more information on those types of variables. Again, like that, using the BT funding, for example, what about having more BT, more FTEs from bioterrorism funding? How did you use those? What were their tasks and so forth? Also, one of the things that we would, as researchers, would really like is to see that the different data sets that we use, because we get information from NACHO and not included in this data, but others are ASTO and NALBO, they all of those agencies collect information about the public health system, and we're hoping that there will be harmonization of these primary data sets that could improve some of the quality of these variables so that we can begin to really get firm results from this. And our analysis is also limited because our the primary data set, or what we got our dependent variables from, was from the National Public Health Performance Standards Program, and also some of our agency structure, which was from the NACHO survey, and both of those are self-reported data sets, so certainly are limited by that factor. And so, just kind of in summary, what we really wanted to present to you here was how that, by using this data, how you can actually have tools that can help you engage in performance improvement initiatives. I think that's, and there's my contact information. Okay.
And we'll be doing questions and answers.
Our final presenter today is Dr. Vamsi Vazireddy. Dr. Vazireddy is doing two presentations today. The first is entitled Accreditation as a Model to Promote Multidisciplinary Approach Towards Performance Management, the Illinois Approach. And the second is Performance Improvement and Accreditation, Is There a Connection? Dr. Vazireddy is currently a candidate for the Doctor of Public Health degree at the School of Public Health at the University of Illinois, Chicago, and where he focuses on public health systems. He's trained as a family physician and received his medical degree from India. He's practiced medicine overseas and has worked as a medical officer in India. He received his MPH from the University of Southern Mississippi. Dr. Vazireddy has presented at various national and international conferences on topics such as cultural competence in healthcare, perinatal mental health, leprosy eradication, and public health systems. Please welcome Dr. Vazireddy.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry you'll have to listen to me back to back.